This is Sophie.
Hey, Sophie, this is Luke Farrell from the Movie Boards. How are you doing?
Hey, good, mate. How are you?
Pretty good. Great movie.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, anyway, you ready for this interview?
Go for it, mate.
Okay, you know, given that there's so much to watch at the cinema these days, you know, why should people watch drama?
Domestic market, you know, we seem to have fallen into a little bit of a kind of, I would say, a bit of a rut in terms of the way that we kind of tell stories and the kind of diverse kind of storytelling. So when I knew that I wanted to make a feature, like despite the fact that I am Australian, I really wanted to use a different setting, to kind of engage a different culture, to have some kind of sense of an experience that isn't you kind of run-of-the-mill, you know, set in Darwin or not, whatnot. I wanted something that's, you know, a little bit more indicative of the way that I live and the way that, you know, my friends live. And, you know, I think one of the things that was always really important to me was that kind of, that rite of passage to be the kind of expat and the Australian kind of in a foreign environment. So, you know, it was, Dead Europe was a favourite film of mine of the last kind of 10 years. And so I knew that, yeah, that was something that I wanted to do. So I'd say that's a big differentiator for drama. But I would also say that, you know, it's a film that's being made in a completely different way, in a way that I think is quite topical at the moment, in that we utilised 50% female crew. And I think one of the things that's really important about that film is to show that, you know, beyond the rhetoric, there's a huge wealth of talent of women who are just, you know, chomping at the bit to have a go. And, you know, that's definitely what drama is about. It was a real step up for, you know, all of our crew, myself included. It was a way for us to really, you know, prove ourselves. And I think that, you know, as a statement of, you know, gender equality in the film industry, it's a pretty strong one.
Uh-huh. So you ended up choosing what could be considered a non-traditional distribution method. Why did you go that way with things?
I guess because, you know, as an independent, there wasn't a lot of money that was on the table. You know, MGs, the minimum guarantees are kind of falling, and your P&A spend as an independent film is very paltry. And so, you know, it was something that me and my sister, who was the producer, we kind of discussed. And, you know, I earlier in the year had worked in the grassroots marketing campaign of Crushed, which is another film by a female filmmaker called Megan Riakos. And, you know, I could see that, you know, I think women are traditionally edged out of the regular kind of distribution model. So we are kind of, you know, encouraged, or I would say forced, to kind of embrace the kind of alternative distribution. So I had been through it before, and I knew that it was quite grueling, but I also knew that, you know, in terms of my the way that I imbibe content is very much on my laptop. You know, I'm a huge Netflix watcher. I buy a lot of films and stream it. That's kind of what I do. And, you know, when I, after I'd spent a little bit of time on the festival circuit in the States particularly, I met other filmmakers who were doing similar kind of day and date campaigns, and that seemed like a really good way to kind of reach a big audience all at once. So yeah, it was a number of different factors. It was, you know, it was one of the better options that we had. But I also thought that, you know, in terms of that testing ground to see how well the kind of cinema and online space can work in conjunction with one another, I thought it would be a really, really good way to test it out.
Okay, so if audiences want to bring your movie to a cinema near them, how did they go about doing that?
Yeah, so you can do a fan force screening, which means that you can get a group of people together. Fan force is basically a cinema on demand model where they liaise with the cinema. So you basically say, look, I want to see this film and I want to bring it to this cinema. Fanforce negotiates that. They set up a 30-day window in which you need to sell a certain amount of tickets, which is called the tipping point.
Uh-huh.
Once you've hit that number of tickets, the screening goes ahead. So it's basically like a way for independent makers to kind of four-wall their own cinemas, I guess, or to allow audiences to four-wall a cinema and put the content that they want in that cinema.
So it's an almost like a sort of a Kickstarter for cinema screening, in a way.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly right.
So, have you worked with anybody from the cast or crew on drama before?
So I knew pretty much everyone. In terms of the actors, I knew them quite well. I'd gone to drama school with John Wren. I'd also known Nicole through friends.
Uh-huh.
But the crew, I had worked with the DOP. I was an actress in a short that he had shot, but a lot of the crew and cast came through my network. So a friend of mine, Belinda Wardell, had shot a feature in Paris about a year before I had. She knew a bunch of people. So basically I kind of got in contact with them, but also Jean, who plays Jonathan, who plays Jean, he's very well established in France. So we basically went through a kind of intensive kind of crewing and casting timeline. But you know, if I didn't know them before we shot, after 31 days of consistent shooting, we were basically like family. So we were pretty much living, breathing, working together 24 hours a day. So yeah.
Oh, interesting. Do you have any advice for aspiring filmmakers?
Yeah, definitely don't wait is the biggest thing. I think that we often feel, because of the context that we're in with government subsidies, that, you know, there is this kind of preordained path that you need to take. And I would just say that, you know, I'm not special in any regards. You know, it was a really good opportunity and I just seized it. And I think that in a lot of ways there's a lot of opportunities out there, especially in kind of new ways to get budgets together. I think that brands, you know, this kind of hybrid of content and cinema, I think, is quite exciting. So, you know, I would just say, yeah, absolutely don't wait. And if you do get rejected for funding, just do it anyway, because, you know, there is a real opportunity in the fact that, you know, the model is changing quite quickly and that, you know, films aren't performing like they used to in cinemas. That really opens up, you know, alternative routes for people, and a way to really kind of capitalise on that conversation is to really, you know, just strike while the iron's hot.
Are there any future projects that we should be aware of yours?
Yeah, so we're currently we're in production at the moment of my second feature. This time it's a documentary. I can't actually give you the title of it or what it's about, so it's a little bit contentious.
Okay.
We've been working on that for the last year. We just shot a large portion of it about a month ago, and we're going to be finishing up shooting in December.
So it'll come out sometime next year.
Yeah, but there is some overlap between drama, so it's almost it's a little bit of a kind of behind the scenes, but in a very, very strange and interesting way. So
okay.
Yeah. my production company, which is run by my sister and I, we're also working on our first, trying to option our first book at the moment.
Uh-huh.
And we also have a second feature that we've been working on, which is a narrative feature. It's kind of a follow-up to drama with completely different characters. So we always kind of imagined this as a bit of a trilogy, a romantic tragedy trilogy, as we kind of deemed it. So that's something that we'll definitely keep working on as well.
Okay, cool. Now, a few quick questions before I let you go.
Yeah.
What's your favourite movie? All-time favourite movie?
This sounds so ridiculous, but it has to be Jurassic Park. It's just such a fantastic film. It's such a... I think that sometimes that seems like such an uncouth thing to say.
Well, the first one, when I watched it at the cinema, I do remember being blown away by the visual effects. So that's not so Not such a bad thing.
It's so outside of the cinema that I make, but it's really, really interesting for me because I think that it's a really beautiful example of when a director and a writer really trust their audience, you know? Like, there's really big concepts and themes in there, but it's done in a way that's still entertaining and light. And, you know, I just think that as a piece of cinema, it's just really, really great. And it was the first time that I was really, like, transported to another world, and I kind of saw the kind of transformative kind of power of cinema to kind of open up, you know, things like technology and science and ethics, and you know, there's some big themes in there, and despite the fact that it's considered a little bit, you know, like blockbustery, I think there's some real merit and value in there. So yeah, would definitely be that.
Are there any actors out there that you hope to work with someday?
Yes, there is. I mean, I was very, very sad when Gene Wilder passed away. He was always someone that I wanted to work with. I think he's just fantastic. But I would have to say Warren Beatty is right up there. He's just, for me, one of the most incredible filmmakers and actors. So, yeah, he'd definitely be top of the list. But I think that, you know, Sarah Polley, Miranda July, any of these kind of women who take on a lot and, you know, have really big ideas about things, they're definitely women that, you know, I can definitely see that I'd be interested to work with. Who else? Oh, I don't know. I mean, one of the things that I genuinely love doing is working with people that come from theatre. I think that, you know, theatre actors, they have a completely different skill set in a lot of ways. They learn how to collaborate. So, you know, I definitely, like, you know, in the planning of any kind of subsequent work, there'll definitely be some kind of overlap there, because it makes for such a speedy conversation on set, because I think they're far more adaptable in a lot of ways. They can just go with the flow.
And so, you have a theatre background too, right?
That's right, yeah. So, you know, I think that, you know, definitely for me, there'll be a lot more phone calls to a lot of the alumni that I went to school with, you know, and saying, what are you doing? Do you want to get involved? But, yeah, it's. I think that that's a little bit of an untapped resource, and definitely coming from, you know, making the film in Paris and also, you know, studying in London, I really realised that, you know, in the UK, a lot of the, you know, prominent actors, they all come from theatrical backgrounds, and I think that there's a little bit of a shortfall in Australia, that those two crafts are kind of siloed away from one another rather than overlapping. So yeah, I definitely like to work with more actors that I've seen tread the boards that I just think are fantastic.
Okay, last question. What's the last movie that you sat down to watch?
What was the last movie that I sat down to watch? Well, it was yesterday, actually, and I rewatched The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, actually, David Fincher.
Okay.
I don't know why it popped into my head, but I just thought, you know, I'd just like to really have a little crack with that. So, yeah, I mean, I love Stellan Skarsgård. I think he's an amazing actor. It was a strange thing to pick on a sunny Sunday afternoon, but yeah, it was great. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Sophie, and have a good day.
Thanks, Luke. Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Thanks so much. Okay.